Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about some new things that are happening. Vaccines has been a bit big of a topic for the last few weeks, but there are now some states moving forward to adjust their exemption status in their legislative areas. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to be talking about more of the scientific fraud that we're seeing, and we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees, and I'm seeking the Lord's face. And today's devotional, we're in Psalms 32 and 2 Samuel, and it goes like this. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised so that I be saved from my enemies. That's right. It's really good. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God, for it is a pleasant thing to praise the Lord. It is comely. The Lord likes that, you know, and not all this repetitious stuff. Be spontaneous with your requests and prayers and thanks. Mind the time. It grows short because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quack report, this is something we're going to talk a little bit more in depth in the first part of the show, but this was the Journal of Clinical Microbiology. They kind of accidentally discovered and reported on the vaccine for the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella, that it actually is creating the measles outbreaks in certain, you know, sections of the United States. And we're going to talk about why that is. We're going to get into that vaccinated people causing the outbreak, not the unvaccinated people. And these are scientists that just proved that, which, you know, didn't make some people in the industry too happy, but we'll get into that. Also, last but not least in the quack report, the Papillona HPV vaccine, Japan is banning it at this point. They're investigating it after many young girls have been damaged. Some died from the vaccine. And so there's several courts, lawsuits. They can sue the manufacturers there. So they're suing, and we're going to get into one doctor who is with the Milford Medical Laboratory saying he says the papillomavirus isn't safe, and that all the stuff that you heard from the manufacturer on the vaccine is false claims. He went into some scientific testing of the vaccine, and we're going to get into that as well. So that is Dr. Sinhang Lee. And if you recall a while back, we were talking about that new polio-like disease that was sweeping the country. I think that was in the fall, wasn't it, Frank? And what you're finding is sometimes they'll contaminate a virus or a vial of vaccine because it initiates a better immune system response. So they put more filth in it, more bacteria. Sometimes they cross-react the viruses, the DNA vaccines, they call them. And so this creates a more viral effect, also makes people more contagious, and they can spread the disease. So this is all just now coming out. And even though we've kind of been reporting and hinting on it for a long time, now some science is catching up with it. And it's not just hearsay. It's not just speculation. It is actually being confirmed. So we'll see where it goes, but we'll keep an eye on it and keep reporting to you on it. And we'll get into a lot of that in the first half hour. So that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so let's get into this. States are now moving forward to really strip vaccine exemptions. Okay, the Washington State, actually, their medical association has kind of put their stamp of approval on this new Senate bill called 5481, which is attempting to modify the current state vaccine exemptions. So the state legislator, if they're moving to make these changes to their law, which states what the acceptable exemptions on the grounds of medical or religious or even philosophical and personal objections. So this state allows you to have a personal objection or a philosophical objection and not get vaccines. So the state's Department of Health has also adopted these objections. So whatever the law is, they adopt it under their code. So the new law, though, that's being presented would disallow any parent or legal guardian to object to vaccine treatments recommended by physicians or the government based on philosophical or personal objections. So that's going away. Okay. Now, currently in the state of Washington, all that a parent or a legal guardian would have to do is really fill out and sign this health department form that they just object to the vaccine or vaccines, and that was all there was required to do. But the new bill takes all that away and only leaves your medical exemption or your religious exemption as a legal objection to vaccines. So the law also makes licensed healthcare professionals legally liable if they sign the form under false pretenses. So if you had a nurse that's a friend of yours and, you know, signed that you had the vaccines when you didn't, they're in big trouble. Under the religious clause now, a parent or legal guardian would have to present proof under the new law that's coming. They'd have to present proof of their religious beliefs by demonstrating a membership in a religious body or a church in which the teachings of that religious body says vaccinations for medical treatment are unacceptable. So they'd have to actually prove their faith. So we're going to take a look at what could be tipping the scales to this point where the states are now changing their exemptions. So what could you think? What do you think it is, Frank? What's promoting all this? Take a guess. Well, it really is. Well, yeah, in a way it is money. We're going to get to that too, but it's really a numbers game at this point to convince legislators to, you know, get off their duff and write a bill. According to the Washington State Medical Association, the state's vaccination rates were instrumental in promoting the change in the exemptions. So last year in 2017 to 18, they said that there was an 86 compliance rate with childhood vaccines, which is below the health authorities' accepted rate of 95%. So the health authorities have determined that a 95% saturation rate of vaccination in the population is required, they say, to prevent the spread of disease. Now, in Washington, the numbers were climbing in the noncompliance of childhood vaccines based on the personal and philosophical objections. For instance, they said 4.7% of parents of children in the kindergarten age five, objected to at least one required vaccine, which is twice the national rate. They said 9 out of 10 children have non-medical exemptions, and Washington State, their schools in the hundreds have rates below those accepted with the MMR. So the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine seems to be what's, you know, pushing parents away. So parents don't want that. So the medical authorities in Washington noted that the states like California and Vermont, they actually eliminated all but the medical exemption, and their noncompliance rates significantly dropped. So get ready for, you know, the religious exemption eventually will disappear or be significantly restricted. Okay. Well, let's look at the microbiology report, because this is just really interesting. So these laws, change vaccine requirements, and these are coming up in the wake of this report from the March 2017 Journal of Clinical Microbiology, which stated the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine has been causing the measles outbreaks in certain areas. So the scientists learned that I think that's the 19 journal. That's 2019. Wrong date there. My apologies. So in the 2019 March journal of the clinical microbiology, MMR vaccine has been causing measles outbreaks. So the scientists have learned that the vaccine was causing a reaction, and the outbreaks were really not from a natural measles case. Apparently, the vaccine causes what they said is a genotype reaction. So what that means is the serum has been modified and the genetic makeup of the disease has been altered. So the genes within disease have these certain expressions, which in turn determines the character trait or the action of the disease. So a more serious concern is when you mix these genetically altered diseases with other pathogens within the same serum, and then you get this volatile mixture. So the National Library of Medicine and the Institutes of Health did report that at least 5 different RNA strains of measles is what the drug companies use. So there's not just one measles strain. They got 5 of them. All right, and probably didn't know that, did you, Frank? What's in that rabbit hat they just pull out? Let's just see what kind of measles vaccine we're going to deal with this week. So, you know, this can really explain why, you know, you get outbreaks that may be restricted to specific regions of the country because it depends on which serum was shipped there. And actually, the public is really not supposed to know that drug companies will test serums on the public this way. If you recall, late in the late 50s and early 60s, certain states received vaccine serums tainted with monkey cells, which later caused as adults to develop cancer. So not every state got that serum, and that's why certain populations didn't develop cancer. And I'm pretty convinced that this strategy also provides a cover, an added benefit of plausible denial to the drug companies, you know, to say that vaccines don't cause disease or everyone would have that cancer, see? So the measles outbreaks could have continued to be blamed on the unvaccinated had the scientists not stumbled upon the gene expression issue and then reported on it, you know? So not making some people happy. Well, and then there's the Canadian report. In December 2013, the British Columbia Canadian report kind of spilled the beans that there was a measles outbreak from the vaccinated patients 5 weeks after getting vaccinated. Okay, so they stated that 5 weeks post-MMR vaccine on just the first dose of the vaccine, the 2-year-olds were shedding off the virus and infecting people and then themselves came down with measles. So in natural cases of measles, the incubation time is 8 to 12 days, not 5 weeks. See the problem here? So the vaccine themselves caused an extended infection. Okay. They also learned that those infected went well beyond 21 days, which is the normal way the condition runs its course. They went 30 days and beyond. So the government called it just a measles cluster, nothing to worry about. Well, the Canadian lab, guess what they did? They decided we're going to test that MMR vaccine. This is what they reported. They had no paraviruses found. Measles genotype A in that serum that they found. Also, detectable human herpes virus found. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from Eurosurveillance, December 2013, which said, measles-containing vaccines are used globally and have been used in British Columbia since 1969 and have a safety record which is monitored by the AEFI surveillance. A rash or mild clinical illness followed by the MMR vaccine is common. Clinically significant vaccine-associated illness is rare. However, when it occurs in an indistinguishable form compared to natural measles cases, we see a genotype change. And they also went on to say, we documented prolonged shedding of the measles vaccine virus by the host of vaccine factors. There was a 2-fold rise in the measles-specific antibodies by the vaccine-mediated immune response. The vaccine itself was found to be handled by strict protocols and contamination was not a factor in causing the outbreak. We concluded this was a vaccine-associated illness. Physicians need to be aware and able to identify the difference between wild-type or natural infection and vaccine-type infection to prevent massive spread of the disease in a prolonged time frame, end of quote. Holy cow. They just said vaccines spread disease. You know, I wonder if somebody got fired for that. Seriously. So you have to ask, why is the herpes virus, what is it doing in the MMR vaccine? Well, it is like mixing the genetically altered diseases that kind of is causing these unknown responses. And I reported on this weeks ago that the WHO is encouraging genetically modified diseases to be mixed together into vaccines. And what you see is they're adding the shingles virus, which is your herpes simplex. This is your chickenpox virus is added to the MMR vaccine. So my question is, if they're doing that, why are they wanting mothers to get their kid to get a chickenpox vaccine on top of that? Good question. So is adding this virus, the chickenpox, causing a cross reaction with the measles? Probably. Most likely it is. And perhaps, but, you know, the labs probably won't ever admit that, you know. We may also want to look at the plan to vaccinate adults with all these booster shots. Yes, we may want to look at that, the adult vaccine plan. Now, in October 2011, the Journal of the American Osteopathic Association reported on the MMR and shingles vaccines for public health and safety. And here's what they stated. According to the CDC, if you were born before 1957, you are considered immune against measles and mumps. The CDC recommends that adults get a second dose of the MMR vaccine 28 days after they get the first dose. And they highly recommend you get these vaccines, these two doses of MMR, if you work in areas that have had outbreaks, if you are a student or you work in education, if you plan to travel internationally, if you work in the healthcare field, if you are previously vaccinated with a dead form of the virus, or if you really don't know what your vaccine history is. Well, there's a question. If you really don't know what it is. You know, you may already have been vaccinated and you want to go get more. Well, medical authorities recommend two doses of the chickenpox vaccine, the herpes zoster virus, and you should be vaccinated 4 weeks apart. And that doesn't include your MMR serum, you know. So getting lots of shingles vaccine. Well, and what about the contaminated serum versus the edited serum? Well, if we report on just one instance of a vaccine being accidentally contaminated, causing outbreaks, well, we could possibly give the vaccine industry the benefit of the doubt. However, it's not just one instance. No, it's not. We have MMR vaccines officially cited as being intentionally altered. We also have the Japanese health authority that have banned the Papillona Gardasil vaccine as dangerous. So we have a pattern with just these two vaccines, and a pattern is evidence of intent. So let's take a brief look at what the scientists in Japan reported on the Gardasil vaccine. Now, to avoid the chance that it was maybe an isolated vial of serum that was to blame, well, Dr. Sinhang Lee, director of Milford Medical Laboratory, tested 13 different serum lots of the Gardasil vaccine. And here's what he discovered. Quote, I found HPVL1 gene DNA fragments and I found HPV DNA fragments that bound to aluminum adjuvants and also formed a non-B conformation to create a new chemical compound of unknown toxicity. It is my opinion that it is this unknown compound that is creating an array of autoimmune illness patients are experiencing following the vaccination with Gardasil. The pain that patients feel is not psychosomatic. Female patients have suffered from long-term pain, inflammatory lesions in the brain discovered from MRI scans, sudden and unexplained death, and biopsy reveals immune cells and demyelination in the brain, end of quote. So Dr. Lee published his research in the Journal of Advances in Bioscience and Biotechnology, and opponents have attempted to discredit him. Now, in July 2016, there was this multi-plaintiff lawsuit in Tokyo, Nagoya, Asakawa, and Fukuoka against the Japanese government and the two pharmaceutical companies regarding the Gardasil. And more victims are joining those lawsuits. Now, in Bogota, Colombia, Hundreds of parents protested in the streets demanding adequate medical treatment for their 800 children damaged by the Gardasil vaccine. These parents stood up to the Colombian National Institutes of Health and got the vaccine suspended, and investigations are ordered. So the parents refused to accept medical establishment excuses that their children were imagining their health problems and was simply hysteria. Okay. A highly regarded autoimmune expert stated this. This is Dr. Yehuda Schoenfeld. He's an autoimmune expert in Israel. He says, I would not recommend the Gardasil vaccine to my own daughter. It is very unlikely that the symptoms presented after receiving that vaccine are due to psychological reasons, especially when these symptoms are occurring in different parts of the world. When we tested Gardasil and gave it to mice, they experienced the same symptoms the female patients were. And since I have never heard of a single case of mice hysteria, I have to conclude that the clinical science on the vaccine is misleading. He was being nice. Neurological damage and death is not worth any benefit, real or imagined, in taking this vaccine. End of quote. Now he goes on to say this. We believe aluminum is a toxic substance for the brain. It accumulates, especially with successive shots, and it's like a Trojan horse for the brain. Aluminum is a neurotoxin, and scientific research has been done to reveal aluminum adjuvants clearly have the potential to inflict serious immune system disorders in humans. The aluminum adjuvants carry a risk of autoimmune disease, inflammation of the brain, neurological long-term complications, and profound widespread health risk. End of quote. This is what your legislators are voting on to mandate you to have. Even as adults. Aluminum. So Dr. Schoenfeld's work on aluminum adjuvant states that the role is to induce mechanisms of actions which lead to autoimmune inflammation responses. He says these adjuvants have created a new syndrome called autoimmune inflammatory syndrome, or ASIA. So the vaccines are creating disease, not protecting you from disease. That's what you got. So, well, and the thing is, we see political people, we see the industry really subsidizing the vaccine agenda. So there are physicians out there that have understanding on the truth about vaccines. There are leaders of business corporations that also have heard the other side of the vaccine debate. There are government officials that also have had access to documents proving vaccines do nothing to promote immune protection and harm instead. So what is the problem then? Well, we got to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to kind of sum this problem up for you and give you some solutions for protection, okay? So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones.
Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Kidney Stone Formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you. Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
On Herb Talk, and we're talking about the legislators moving forward to change the exemptions on your vaccine options. And right before the break, we were talking about this vaccine agenda. So if we've got leaders in industry, in politics, and even in medicine that know there is a dark side to vaccines, what's the problem then? Why are we being forced and being subjected to getting them? Well, in all of these areas, financial benefit is given if they promote and encourage and mandate vaccines. So in March 2017, I actually reported this. When we take a closer look at what's subsidized these days, we can confirm the human health is on the list. We often think of subsidies as financial assistance, but it also means to secure the cooperation through bribery. So the word subsidy has a history. Since 1815, the word often meant to pay for or to hire mercenaries or to buy an alliance or neutrality, which is all another way of saying to bribe someone. It wasn't until 1828 that the term subsidized was used to describe government grant money, which people interpreted as a way to remove a tax burden. Therefore, a financial subsidy is often an exchange or purchase for something. So we do have some in healthcare and in business and in government that don't go along with the agenda, and they find that road is kind of paved with punishments. Some politicians, physicians, and scientists with a conscience have been discredited, fired, blacklisted, lost their license, jailed, or even driven out of the country. So medical journal editors are getting a bad name for themselves, as many are selling space to vaccine manufacturers in the journals, which influence physician treatments. So your articles are just a big ad for the drug company. So officials at the health departments, as well as the FDA, are involved in the vaccine cover-up. And this offers legislative politicians the green light excuse to pass laws authorizing more vaccines as a means to qualify for your job, traveling, healthcare coverage, and other everyday resources people really depend on to live. So you want to protect yourself or perish. Those are the options when you're thinking about vaccines, because I do believe that vaccines are really a creation. There's an evil agenda with it. I think it's designed to undermine your God-given immunity, undermine your health, and reduce population numbers. So how long will it be before they restrict or remove the religious exemption really is anyone's guess. And as more of the laws that support our republic are ignored and violated, we find it difficult to count on men in authority to do the right thing. So the government is no longer serving the people. It oppresses the people. So if government can demand or force you to inject yourself with filthy disease and heavy metals and buy health care you can't afford or use, then what else would you call it? Well, there's a silver lining. You can reverse vaccines if you take the opportune moment, okay? Fortunately, there's a lot we can do to reverse the damage of vaccines. If we find ourselves in a situation where refusal is painfully difficult, such as maybe you have to do it to keep your job or to keep custody of your children or get your education or travel for work, whatever that's on the list there, what I like to do is a two-step program that, when used immediately after a vaccine is given, can reverse the effect. So it would be best not to get vaccinated, but in situations like we've mentioned, or even under martial law pandemics, it could make it almost impossible to avoid. So what I like to use is a product called Skin Poultice that you apply topically to the injection site. These are herbs that draw out the vaccine. Native Indians used it to draw out snake venom. Very effective. You want to leave it on 2 hours. And I also then take right away as well a short burst of the blood cleanser. This helps sweep the blood and the body and anything that's skipped by the poultice. So these two simple herbal products are amazing and are a lifesaver. And we've used them. Yes, we have. It has a history. Shelf life is 10 years on the blood cleanse, 5 years on the skin poultice. And there are also, these products are also included in the pandemic kit you find by the folks at Apothecary Herbs. So if you want to call Apothecary Herbs for these items or their organ cleanses or their immune boosting formulas, you call them toll free at 866-229-3663. And that's toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. And their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. You're taking the power back when you do that. And see, God didn't leave you defenseless. He gave you medicinal herbs to help you, which is just totally awesome. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, God promises herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nation. God can't lie. All right, we're going to step it up. We're going to be talking about this crackdown on the scientific fraud, you know, because if we got a lot of fraud in science, we can't believe the reports on the vaccines. And so what are we doing? And you winging a prayer, hoping the kid doesn't die or get autism from it or a neurological problem. I mean, these poor girls with the Gardasil, some of them die in their sleep. All right. So there's an uptick in some reports exposing fraud in scientific studies. And some editors of scientific journals are stating that a lot of the papers they get, you know, are full of fraud, or they're just plain fake. And a few with a conscience have resigned their positions of refusing to publish them, because here's the power of big deep pockets pharmaceuticals getting editors with a conscience removed so they can put in their lies. But it's not just in the United States. Our fraud seems to be systemic on a global level in science. There is a more being exposed. And as more gets exposed, you know, the change is happening. A positive light is shining, you know, because it's going to have to, the scientific community is going to have to hit bottom in order to go back up again and you know, cleanse themselves, purge themselves of all this stuff. So in a way, the tide could be changing. Hopefully, you know, the scientific fraud is going to be not accepted as the norm. Hopefully it won't be accepted. But for too long, the industry has really been putting its profits and greed ahead of our well-being, right? And people are just fed up. I hear it every day. People are just fed up with disease management drugs. That's not what they want to be on. And they ask themselves, you know, if something happened and there was, you know, no way to get the medication, what happens to me? All right. In 2016, an investigation of research by scientists at the American Academy of Neurology, they had a probe into a lot of published journals that were suspected of fraud, and they uncovered scientific misconduct that happened in 33 of the trials that got published that involved bone health, just bone health, 33 trial report journal articles on bone health that probably osteo doctors read and changed their treatments on their patients. So the team used a lot of computers and they programmed them with statistical data to help flush out the papers that were pretty much a complete sham. And the scary part is the scientific trials were based off of a body of research that were done by one researcher. So here is a scientific bias that is corrupting studies all the way down the line. And here's the thing, though. You don't maybe know this. Maybe you do. But when they go to do scientific studies on, let's say, a topic, let's say bone health, they may pick up some of these studies that were done previously that are complete frauds, but they don't know that. The scientific people don't know that. So they pick it up there, and they move it forward. So they don't go back and check. They don't reenact that original study to see if it came true, but they based their current study on that and then go forward. So you see it's an accumulation of fraud. You know, their study's already contaminated because they're basing it on a fraudulent study that happened previously. Here is a quote from Dr. Mark Bolin. He's a Bachelor of Medicine and Surgery, University of Auckland, New Zealand. He said, "Our use of statistical methods to examine the integrity of the data in the 33 randomized controlled trials raises serious concerns about the reported results in those trials." So the results of their investigation did get published in the Journal of Neurology, and Neurology had to retract at least three of the studies that were previously published. And the one scientist responsible for tainting those studies admitted to the fraud. It was Dr. Yoshihiro Sato of Japan. And he admitted he fabricated the results in the final report. He just made it up. Just made it up. What happened to science being fact and observational science and, you know, all those high-minded things scientists like to tell you? What happened to that? Well, currently there's really no criminal statute that would be able to prosecute this type of behavior, even though it probably injures countless people. There's nothing nobody does to them. Oh, I just, you know, made up this report that got published in a major medical journal, and, you know, 100 doctors changed their protocols and people got damaged. My bad. That's it. Aren't you mad yet? I know I am. These fake studies boasted that patients experienced reductions in hip fracture regardless of the treatment that was used. They boasted that their treatments were 78% successful. Blah, 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 blah. It's all made up. All made up. All right. So, you know, then I have to say, you know, a lot of these journal articles have co-authors, you know. So what about the co-authors? Usually these are, you know, bigwigs, people that have been in medicine a while. They have a reputation and they sign on board to give the, you know, the article, the journal article in the study, you know, some weight, credibility. So what about the co-authors? Well, majority of the studies that do get published have co-authors, and the researchers will approach the more prominent scientists that have already been published and gotten study approvals in the past, and they will list them, they get permission to list them as a co-author. And in majority of these cases, the co-authors are not directly involved in the study whatsoever. They don't even go to the lab that's being held in. They just probably get paid, you know, to list their name or something. And so, you know, they're just listed as an honorary author kind of thing, just to give the study credibility. So so if the perpetrator of the study is not published or punished for fraud, you can't expect the co-authors to get punished, right? It could be a little embarrassing for them, but they just shrug it off and say they were duped with everybody else, right? But Dr. Ballard's team, they tried to replicate a lot of these results that the study boasted, but they couldn't replicate then and show positive results like they were claiming to be. The study test groups were not random. They didn't have any similar characteristics that occurred by chance. They revealed that the research showed that patients would not be protected from hip fracture if the treatments were given. Here's what they listed as their results: inconsistency within the trial, errors in reporting data, misleading text, duplicated data and text, no ethical oversight, ambitious time frame of 33 randomized controlled trials within 15 years, all with positive outcomes, highly unlikely statistically. Outcomes were not consistent with outcomes of similar studies done by other researchers. So Robert Gross, MD, Rochester, New York, editor of Neurology, says this: the analysis demonstrates scientific misconduct is on a large scale, end of quote. Large scale. Do you suppose that vaccine trials are in there somewhere? Scientific misconduct? Kind of makes you wonder what other things have been suppressed, you know, with others, maybe some accurate studies were, you know, thrown out that would have been right because of all this other stuff that's fraud saying something else. Well, what about the drugs like Vioxx that were removed from the market after the fact because they killed patients? Well, in 2011, two physicians at the University of Michigan Health System published that changes need to be made within the scientific research community to secure ethical work. Nowhere was it recommended that statute law be established to prosecute scientists as criminals. That's what you need. Otherwise, you know, if there's no punishment, what do they care? You know, if the pharmaceutical company says, well, you know, just change that data for me, you know, because, you know, we're here 5 years into this research on this drug and we really need to get it online. Nowhere was it recommended. So also the fraud is going to continue. If you don't really have ethical standards that the board could, you know, enforce, revoke research privilege, there's nothing. There's, you know, because people respond to punishment and rewards. They're just saying, oh, you know, I'm going to slap you on the wrist and say, you naughty boy. Now go way back into that lab and do the right thing. Right. They're going to do the right thing. So what is a reasonable person supposed to think that would happen if you have no oversight, you have no consequences for fraudulent bad behavior, right? Here's a perfect example. The European Science Foundation, they put into place codes of conduct for good practices, but nothing in place for to address misconduct. So they left it on the individual, on your honor kind of thing, right? Codes and policy, even law not upheld, leads to criminal behavior. Look at Washington, D.C. Look at our republic when laws are not upheld. Here is a quote. Let's see. This is from the Dr. John Marks, director of the Science of Strategy, European Science Foundation. He says, if scientists get away with questionable practices, and if no one says anything about it, it might invite bigger issues of misconduct. Trust of science is lost with high-profile cases of misconduct, and this is why we are very concerned. End of quote. Uh-huh. Well, here's a quote. This is from Dr. John Loandis, Department of Hygiene Epidemiology, University of Loandin School of Medicine in Greece. He said, it is impossible to know with 100% certainty what the truth is in any research. In this regard, the old gold standard is unattainable. 100%, you can't know. Richard Smith, biophysics, former editor of British Medical Journal, says most scientific studies are wrong. And they are wrong because scientists are interested in funding and their careers rather than truth. Oh, my God, right? Right? Yeah, they're worried about their reputations. They're not worried about you in the hospital bed. Here's European Science Foundation again. They say fraud in science includes inventing data. A scientist who fabricates, manipulates, falsifies data to produce an unjustified result and then presents that work to other researchers to base their concepts on, that's a major problem. It is difficult to assess the extent of fraudulent research, but it is estimated to be as much as 50% or more. Well, it could go back to the 70s. Think about it. You could have 40, 50 years of research that's bad. And a lot of drugs came out of that. Based on this, the level of risk associated with medical treatments is most likely incorrect. Take into account the most medical tests offer a 20% error margin. Therefore, you can quickly see how your published 10% risk of a treatment failure can really be 70% or more. So according to experts in the scientific community, the U.S. National Science Foundation, the Office of Inspector General, which, you know, does have the statutory power to investigate and subpoena evidence for fraud, they describe how they may address this misconduct. They say scientists would be sent to an ethics class. An ethics class. Possibly they may be prohibited from receiving any federal funding for about 5 years. Well, that one I could see could hurt. But I think they should get way tougher. Because people get hurt from what they write. So that's intentional. Intentional harm. That's what, isn't that what law calls that? You intended it was willful. Willful. Right? Willful. Well, you know, whoop-de-doo on the ethics class. That's what I say. Right? What, Frank? Willful intent. That's what it is. That's what I was looking for. Yep, that's the criminal definition of these guys. Willful intent. All right, so now since European countries are addressing scientific fraud in the self-governance area, you know, on your honor kind of thing, other countries may have stricter standards. If there is a conflict when there is a collaborated research effort of scientists cross borders. And now in some instances, contracts get signed addressing these types of rules that investigations may ensue and maybe even some sanctions if you can get these researchers under contract. And because of this, the Global Science Forum is really has formed to help manage a lot of the suspected misconduct. So they're trying to come together and agree upon some global practices, international codes of conduct, if you will. But you still, if you don't have any punishment there for bad behavior, there's no bite to it. There's nothing that, you know, keeps people in line. All right. So, here's a quote from Juan Jose, professor of Spanish National Research Council. He says, society requires science and researchers to solve the problems that concern all of us. Public opinion has an opinion regarding the honesty of science, and we cannot allow it to be lost. Well, too late, Jose. I mean, seriously. I don't trust you guys as far as I throw you. Now, it is obvious that scientists across the world are kind of scared that these restrictions they're trying to come up with, these new standards of conduct, and maybe even laws, would enforce the ethical oversight and to reduce the risk. Scientists are worried that's going to stifle creativity in the scientific lab. You know? So the real concern is, you know, the restrictive oversight that would deter private funding of the research. And here we're back to the money again, see? And it always comes down to the money. And sadly, it's the reason why there's so much mistrust within scientific medicine today. It's because of the money. Yeah, creative lying. That's Frank. There you go. The creative lying in the lab is going to be hurt. You need some lab police. That's what you got to have then. Here's a quote from Dr. Frank Kramer, plastic surgeon, Beverly Hills. He said, death is the ultimate complication from these research papers that, you know, change treatment plans. Oh, I'll say. The good news is people are becoming more proactive for health. They're looking at natural solutions for everyday problems. And diet is huge. Diet, what you put in the body results in how well you're going to be or not be. Okay. And that includes vaccines too. You have an immune system. I think it's our duty to protect it, to nurture it, to strengthen it. And vaccines don't do that. They're artificial infections, and they're full of heavy metals and God knows what else. So look at your options. Investigate. Do your homework. Really, and do your homework. Investigate. Do your research. And a lot of you have written me and saying, hey, you know, you got me doing my homework and researching. My wife just got diagnosed with something here. And so I'm not just taking anybody's word for it. I'm researching this. And I'm like, good for you. That's what we all should be doing. You know, that's what we all should be doing. And making those individual decisions based on our lives or what would make us happy, our specific situations. Right. Because there is no cookie cutter anything out there when it comes to your metabolism and what your body requirements are. So definitely do your homework. I know some of you out there that listen to the show, you may go to the doctor's office for, I don't know, sore throat or whatever, and the doctor may give you a prescription. You guys are on your phones looking up that drug to see what the side effects are before you even leave the doctor's office. That is way cool. And some of you walked right back in and said, hey, I don't like the side effects on this drug, so do you have anything else? Well, they may not have anything else, but at least, you know, at least you're starting to think, right? At least you're starting to think. If you would like to look at some herbal options, check out Apothecary Herbs. They make a professional strength product for you, and they have a free product catalog they could send you. All you have to do is call 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. If you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. And I am out of time, so I'll be back next week. But the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, wish you all to be well.